Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, December 14th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Southeast lost both its Tlingit lawmakers during this year's legislative elections. It's the first time in at least two decades that the region has been without Native representation. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Haines's Bill Thomas has served in the legislature since 2005, representing many rural Native communities. Angoon's Albert Kukesh did much of the same, starting in 1997. But when the legislature gavels in January 15th, both Tlingit leaders will be gone.
Losing the Native representation, we just don't know how much impact that will have, but it can't be without impact.
That's Kloak's Dennis Demert, former director of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Native Studies Program. He's also been active in the Alaska Native Brotherhood and other groups. He's optimistic the candidates who defeated Thomas and Kukesh will do their best to act on Native concerns.
Bert Stedman certainly has a track record of representing constituents well, and Jonathan made it a point to do a lot of campaigning in the villages.
But Demert says some things will be missed.
It's simply not possible, so far as I can see, for two men who are non-Native to have the perspective of Native people. There are needs that we have and priorities that we're aware of from living our lives in villages and so forth that they can observe and see, but they can't experience the way we have.
Jerry Mackey, who's Haida from Craig, was the lawmaker for much of rural Southeast from 1991 through the year 2000. He's now a lobbyist and a hockey team owner in Anchorage.
I think that's felt by the Native community as a significant loss of representation. Certainly it's natural for, the Native community in Southeast to feel that going from two legislators to zero, would certainly be a loss.
Tlingit Bill Williams of Saxman overlapped with Mackey and Kukesh as the House member from Ketchikan from 1993 through 2002. In all, Southeast has been represented by Native lawmakers for 22 straight years. That ends when the new legislature gavels into session. The question is, why? There's fundraising differences, personalities, and political histories, but many say the answer is redistricting.
Any redistricting must be in compliance with the various requirements of the Act. For example, you cannot dilute the strength of minority voters.
Jeffrey Mittman is executive director of the ACLU of Alaska. His group and the Native American Rights Fund are fighting a state effort to eliminate federal review of legislative boundary changes. That would cut out protections for minority voting strength. He won't go as far as saying the latest effort targeted any particular group, but
there are always efforts by political parties and elected officials to game the system.
Redistricting moved Kukesh into an area with fewer villages and larger cities where voters were used to electing incumbent Stedman. It made fewer changes to Thomas's district, but did add Sitka, where winner Christ Tompkins grew up and is well known. Redistricting Board Chairman John Torgerson could not be reached for immediate comment, but the panel has said protecting Native voting strength was a top and legally mandated priority. Members also pointed out that doesn't mean crafting boundaries to guarantee a particular lawmaker's victory.
I'm really concerned about a voice not only of Natives, but of everybody in coastal Alaska.
Juneau Senator Dennis Egan is one of Southeast's six remaining lawmakers. He says he and the others know the region well and will do their best to address Native concerns. Former lawmaker Mackey says cooperation will strengthen the region's overall voice.
Southeast legislators have always traditionally always worked together to look out for the region. And, that's still the case today after this election. And where we've lost experience and where we've lost seats in sheer numbers, it's going to be incumbent upon them to work together even more so now.
Southeast's legislative district boundaries may not be final. The region's portion of the statewide plan will undergo further consideration before the next election. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A writer and salmon trawler has published a new collection of articles written over the course of 35 years fishing in Southeast. As the Gertie Turns is the first book for Ron Rao, who was a frequent contributor to the Alaska Fisherman's Journal. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Ron Rao's is the story of so many fishermen, so many Alaskans for that matter, who came here from someplace else and never found an excuse to leave. The difference is, Rao writes about it.
A lot of my writing is a learning experience I went through that I want to share. And when I write, I try to write to somebody that's a little smarter than me.
The idea being that the lessons I've learned are ones that you should probably not be repeating.
There are lots of those, yeah, but the lessons I've learned are some I'd like to share with you, you know, about new country and new lifestyles. And one of the things that impressed me when I came up to Alaska was the diversity of people.
Rao had already been living in Alaska for a few years when he made it to Wrangell in 1977 and decided to become a salmon troller. He had a 16-foot aluminum skiff tied to the top of a pickup truck. As the Gertie Turns starts on that fateful day, as you might imagine, Rao did not catch many fish that first season, but he nevertheless found a way to cash in on his hard luck. The Alaska Fisherman's Journal was just starting up. The magazine took Rao's essay about that first season and many more pieces over its 27-year life.
And this book wouldn't even be here were it not for the publisher, John Pappenheimer. He gave us quite a bit of leeway. He just had to relate it to commercial fishing a little bit. So I owe this book to him.
The book is equal parts memoir and history, plus Rao's attempt to guide non-fishermen through the mysteries of the fishing lifestyle. Why people leave the beach to contend with weather, prices, regulations, and boat cats that, for reasons known only to the cats, will not stay off the cap rail even after they've fallen overboard two or three times. As the Gertie Turns refers to the hydraulic wheel that raises and lowers trolling gear, Rao says you're best to steer clear of the Gertie.
If you get caught in the Gertie in troller lingo, you know, you're the subject of gossip, you know, which usually has to do with divorces and male-female relationships throughout your dad. I much prefer the former.
Rao is working on two more collections. The History of the One-Fingered Fastball covers his childhood in Michigan, playing baseball before television was common, and later when he organized a fisherman's baseball team to compete with local kids before the high school baseball program got going. His third book is a catch-all.
I consider myself sort of a nature writer with a shotgun and a fishing pole. And I got one more big book to put together before I start writing fresh stuff. This will be the big fat hunting and fishing book, all the stories that didn't fit into the other two.
As the Gertie Turns is self-published, Rao plans to distribute it through bookstores in Alaska. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Ron Rao will be signing his book this Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. at Old Harbor Books. To hear more of this interview, tune in to Soundcheck, KCAW's new program about issues, ideas, and people, 8:30 a.m. on Friday, December 28th. You can also subscribe to our Soundcheck podcast at the iTunes Store. How do you get 135 third, fourth, and fifth graders to learn and apply Sir Isaac Newton's law of motion? Have them design and build paper roller coasters. KTOO's Casey Kelly takes us on to the roller coaster riot.
The floor of the Juno Arts and Culture Center is a mess of construction paper, tape, and elaborate design drawings. There are no rules at the roller coaster riot. Students are given kits that include various tracks, loop-de-loops, funnels, and corkscrews, and told to use their imaginations to create a roller coaster that gets a marble from point A to point B.
First, we got 30 minutes to plan, and then we went over there to that table and got the paper, some scissors, and some tape.
9-year-old Brianna McKeel stands next to her group's creation, the dolphin, so named because the twin starting tracks at the top resemble a dolphin tail. McKeel goes to Riverbend Elementary School, but for this project, she's working with students from other schools around the capital city. As part of the Juneau School District's extended learning program for gifted students, they've been learning about physics, specifically Newton's three laws of motion.
The first law is an object at motion stays in motion unless a force acts on it. And Newton's second law is an acceleration of an object is re- re- related to the force applied on it and is inversely related to its mass.
That second law is expressed in the formula F equals M times A, or
F equals mama.
McKeel also recites Newton's third law. For every action or force, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In a paper roller coaster, she says there are two forces at work on the marble.
The force is from the gravity, like us like dropping it, and the way our tracks are tilted.
10-year-old Akbay Elementary School student Ben Ng says his group's roller coaster, the Ultimate, went through several redesigns to get the right combination of forces acting on the marble.
In one of our first designs, we had a flat track and a loop-de-loop, and the ball barely made it up the loop-de-loop, so we had to make more speed.
Ng says they solved the problem by making their roller coaster taller.
Gravity forces the ball to go down, and it builds up more momentum, so it goes faster.
Amy Jo Miners is an extended learning teacher at both Akbay and Riverbend Elementary Schools. She says Roller Coaster Riot is a great way to teach kids physics at an early age.
They have to use critical thinking skills, and they have to be creative in their problem-solving approaches, and it's a great setup to do that.
The activity is a partnership between the school district and the Juneau Economic Development Council. JEDC's STEM education program is designed to expose kids to concepts and activities that lead to careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Roller Coaster Riot activity is partially funded by a grant from NASA. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And that's all for Raven News. And now a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, it's going to be windy, rain heavy at times, with highs around 42. South wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to southeast 30 miles per hour, with gusts to around 40 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, rain with lows around 36, southwest wind 10 to 20 miles.